Disasters are a reality of life in the Pacific, but so is the strength and resilience of its people. Pacific Prepared shares first-hand stories from communities on the ground, drawing on tradition, culture, and collective wisdom to stay safe and support one another in times of disaster. Pacific Prepared explores how communities are adapting and protecting what matters most. Search up ABC Pacific Prepared to listen online or find it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Malolale and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes and this show is all about keeping you across all things Pacific of sport. So let's not waste any time and get to what's coming up on the show. We're going to meet Simone Fowler, the president of Athletics Cook Islands.
There's so much raw talent, particularly in our islands and even in our pa, you know, our outer islands. But it's those who really pick up the discipline of training, of doing the hard yards day in, day out and setting themselves some goals. Those are the ones that are going to have the opportunities and be able to really go somewhere, take that talent to the next level.
We'll also hear from Fijian hurdlist Errol Ganga.
I have been doing hurdles for quite a while now, almost coming up 10 years. Just recently, October in Tonga, the Oceania Cup, where I won gold. And before the Oceania Cup was the Pacific Mini Games in Palau, where I also won gold. And that's after coming back from a five-year break when I was in college in Hawaii.
And we'll also talk through the massive news in the worlds of rugby, weightlifting and basketball. And to do all of that, I do need a fair bit of help because every week I'm joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific to chat sport in the region. And this week we have sports journalist Taina Basialo all the way from Fiji, Bulawinaka.
Bulawinaka Sam, great to be back on the show and absolutely looking forward to today's discussion.
Yeah, it is great to have you. Back on with us. And we have someone on debut from the Cook Islands, the beautiful islands of Atutaki, I believe. That's where I'm looking at through her Zoom. It looks fantastic out there. Harriet Tuara, kia ora,
Sam.
Oh, man, how good is your backdrop?
Oh, it's not too shabby.
not too shabby here. Is it AI or that's definitely the real deal, Atutaki?
I guess you got to find out by paying your ticket over.
Well, there we go. Let's hope the bosses can hear that and get our ticket over there. And let's do Fresh Off the Field on beautiful Atutaki. I reckon that would make for a great show. But it's great to have everyone on. So let's get to what's coming up.
Fresh Off the Field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
All right, we're going to start with the big bowl because the big bowl is where we come together, we take a seat on the mat and chat the biggest sports stories across the Pacific. So sit back, fill your cup up as myself, Taina and Harriet run you through the must-know news in the region.
The big bowl.
Ah, beautiful. The big bowl. Here we go, Taina. We're going to start with you. And the Fijian Drua fans are finally on their feet, happy, excited, no one throwing shade in the comment sections anymore. Everyone's happy for at least, well, they've got the bye this week, but at least happy for a couple of weeks. How are they feeling?
Yes, absolutely. All the fans are excited because, you know, all the stress from round one and round two has been lifted over the weekend in Lotoka, where the Fijian Drua hosted the Hurricanes for the first time. And that also marked the Drua's first win of the season, where they beat Hurricanes 25-20. The victory was significant for the Drua, especially after losing the opening two matches. And, it came against a Hurricanes side that had just thrashed Moana Pacifica the previous week. So everybody is over the moon right now.
Yeah, the conditions really suited the Fijian Drua boys. Can you tell us and inform our audience what the surface was like when they were playing? Like it was, there were tough conditions to play in.
Absolutely tough conditions, but nothing new for the Drua boys because I'm pretty sure back in their communities, they grew up playing in, surfaces like that. They even had to cut short the curtain raiser game between Malolo, which is Fiji's domestic champions, and the Drua development team. They had to cut that game at halftime so they could keep the surface to preserve it for the main game. It was a bit muddy. rainy, but
a bit muddy.
Yeah, it was
a mud track, and I think you're right. It really suited the Fijian Drill Boys. It did not faze them one bit, and I'm so happy that the Sugar City crowd were up on their feet, making a lot of noise. Harriet, for yourself, are you a Fijian Drill fan?
Absolutely. Anyone who's representing Pacifica heritage, for sure, Cook Islands right behind them. So massive Fijian Drill fan here.
What is the rugby union scene like in the Cook Islands? I know there's a fair few rugby league players that come from there. Some, you know, we think of Keo Iro and those type of players, Brad Takarangi.
Yeah, I think rugby union is ingrained in our heritage here too in the Cook Islands. It has always been, I guess, the foundation sport for a lot of us and a lot of families in the Cook Islands. So it's still very much a huge part of our culture, especially in the sporting space. So we very much love our rugby union still.
Yeah, love it. And Tana, back to the Drua. They got the bye this week. I guess that win brings a little bit of relief for everyone. But in terms of consistency, you know, what do they need to work on to be able to get back-to-back wins?
Well, like they always say, they need to work on their defense and attack and all those little areas on the field. But, you know, apart from that, they have a game against the Brumbies next week. That's going to be in Bar. That's the first time a Super Rugby match will be played in Bar. And, you know, I'm pretty excited for that. I know for sure if it's going to be sunny, the sun is going to be hotter than Lotoka. So,
oh my
goodness. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Crazy.
That is going to be next level for those Brumbies boys. And I think this is what I'm sort of hearing as well with Bob Valentini. He could be making his 100th appearance, Super Rugby appearance for the Brumbies in Bar. So he's not named against the Reds where he was supposed to play his 100th game. So that could be happening in Bar. So I think that could be a very first for a Fijian to play 100 Super Rugby games on Fijian soil. So that will be one to watch out for. I'll touch base with you. Hopefully we can get a story out of that one, Tana, for sure, for next week.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
We'll keep everyone posted on that one. But for you, Harriet, we'll shift over to the world of track and field. What have you got for us here?
Very exciting stuff going on in Auckland right now with the Polynesian Championships about to kick off today, actually. And we have 16 athletes who are there currently ready to take on the track and field events. They've had a massive week of learning under coaches and experienced athletes who are sort of front running the whole development camp. So they've learned so much, and now I think they'll be put to the test, and we will get to see how they come out with their results by the end of today.
Who are the superstars that we should be looking out for?
You should be looking out for all 16 athletes. I believe they have all worked tirelessly and hard to earn their spot in their respective disciplines. But if we're looking at athletes who have shown much improvement in their disciplines more recently, I would say keep an eye out on our long jumper, Krito Nga. We've also got the young Emma Louise Papali'i, who is in the shot put event, and also Max Derua, who is our hurdle runner.
Perfect. And when you think about these competitions, you know, how important are these competitions to help our athletes prepare for the bigger ones in the future? Because hopefully we can see some Olympic champions come from these competitions. But, you know, how important is it that our athletes have opportunities like this?
Yeah, Sam, I think it's very important. We don't get much exposure, and also we have very limited resources back home. And so to have these athletes compete with athletes who are at their peak or who are the best of the best in their disciplines is great exposure, and I guess great competition for our athletes to experience so they can potentially see how far they can go or just see where their levels are at as well. So it's very important.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And when you think about what you need to prepare at the highest level and what has to be done, like, these competitions are vital. Like, we see Windsor Kakiawa from Nauru, you know, his training in Nauru was on, like, crushed coral and dirt, you know, pushing sleds. And then he moves to Brisbane where he's got the track, he's got the facilities, and now he's improving his time. So that's why these competitions are important. So I appreciate you bringing us that one. I'm going to bring in a story from basketball. Tana, do you know, have you heard of Jordan Lumkon?
Yes, I have. I've done a few interviews with him.
Have you? What's he like? So I'm going to bring in, we've got an interview with him, but, you know, from your dealings with him, what's he like as a person?
Well, he's a very respected, Fiji rep, yeah. And, a lot of these young athletes, they look up to him for guidance and for support as well. And I think he's a great basketball player as well.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Well, he was part of the team that won Fiji's first Pacific Games gold medal in 16 years in 2023. He's now on the Gold Coast and he has a competition, I guess a pathway, an educational pathway for a basketball competition in Suva later this month in March. So we're going to hear from him about that competition and why that is important.
You're listening to Fresh Off the Field.
Yes, joining me on Fresh Off the Field, I have a pretty handy basketballer, Jordan Lumkon. Look, he's got a pretty amazing story, chasing the dream of being a professional NBL basketballer. Didn't quite break through, but he did represent Fiji. He won a Pacific Games gold medal, and he is now going to host a basketball event in Suva at the end of this month in March. And he joins us right now on Fresh Off the Field. Bulla, bro, how are you?
Hey, Bulla, man. Thank you so much for allowing me to have this platform to speak.
No, all good. It's great to have you on, man. Obviously, you're doing some amazing things. Let's start. Where are you from in Fiji?
So originally from Savo Savo. Yeah, my mom actually got a bit of Chinese background there as well. That's where the last name comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the old man was a Chinese baker, my great-grandfather. My family's actually been in Australia since the 70s. My grandma moved over.
Beautiful. And then when I think about, Fijians, always the first thing that comes to my mind is rugby, especially Fijian sevens, tall winger, fast winger, big wingers bumping everyone off like a Nemanja Nandolo Kurundrani, like that style. But you found your way in basketball. How did you end up there?
Rugby was always king for me, man. Like growing up, rugby was the first sport that I ever played. And I just wanted to be like those guys that you mentioned, Ripeni Thou Thou, Thou Rocka Poco. But I wasn't that gifted in the rugby field, so moved over to basketball.
Yeah, worked out all right for you. Talk us through about chasing that dream and some of the challenges you do face when you do chase a dream like that and a goal that big.
Man, to be honest, it was a bit of it's an interesting one because, growing up in Sydney and being an Islander, playing basketball was a bit sort of like a foreign thing. Sort of felt like I felt at home on the rugby field, but I definitely felt like a foreigner when I was playing basketball. But the journey was unbelievable, man. It taught me a lot about how to be a man just through discipline and things like that. I could just practice it on my own. And I felt that there were so many levels to basketball that I didn't get in rugby in terms of just skill work and being able to practice and just getting better and better and moving up the ranks in basketball, man. It was beautiful. Fortunate enough to be able to play at a semi-professional level. I wanted to crack it in the NBL, but it wasn't my journey, wasn't my path. Had a kid as a young man as well, 22, 23. I had my first daughter, so just trying to navigate through life and trying to figure out how to chase this dream of basketball. Going on a bit of a tangent here.
No, it's perfect, man. It's a story that is far too common, but probably not spoken enough about when life's, and you're trying to pursue something that's deep in your heart. But you've got challenges, you're trying to manage everything around that, finances, because it doesn't pay a lot, but you want to chase a dream. No. So totally understand the story, and so many people can relate to that story as well. But I know it didn't end up in that NBL league, but it did lead you to the white jersey, the Fijian jersey, yeah. And representing Fiji. What were those feelings like?
Man, as a kid, I used to just have scenarios in my head where I'd be playing rugby and just pretending to be, Waisali Serevi or William Ryder. Doing steps in the backyard.
Yeah, the goats, the footwork.
It never really crossed my mind that, playing basketball for Fiji would be a thing for me, because I didn't even know that our people even played the game, let alone have a national team. So it actually worked out to be the biggest blessing for me. I felt like that was the pinnacle of my career. It was unbelievable just to, just be a part of the Pacific Games and, I guess, share my journey. It actually brought me a lot closer to Fiji and my parents. When I was young, my mum was she came to Australia for a holiday where she met my father. My father's actually Māori, so I'm half Māori. She actually overstayed her visa, but my grandma was here at the time. So my mum got deported back to Fiji when I was only a baby. I actually ended up growing up with my grandma. I was always a bit different, from the get-go. And then going back to play for Fiji, man, it just connected me back to just something that I felt that was missing, in my heart. So I felt like connecting back with the homeland and being able to represent the country, not only that, bring the first gold medal in 16 years and be a part of that journey, man, priceless, man. Something I'll take to the grave for sure.
Man, absolutely love that story. Representing Fiji, What was the moment where you look back on and just like, oh man, that was it. I absolutely love and cherish that moment forever.
Man, I think it was just the moment where the final buzzer went off, and it was against Guam and they missed their final shot, the gold medal game, yeah.
Wow.
When it was all done, I just had like thoughts just rushing through my brain, like uncontrollable emotions, you know, I was crying tears of joy. That moment just made me realize that, man, my whole life leading up to this, all the struggles that I've been through, it was just totally worth it, you know, like I'd say that was the moment.
When you're standing on the podium and the gold medal goes around your necks, your team's necks, and then the Fijian anthem's played, you know, how were the emotions during that?
Oh man, I think I didn't believe it was real. In perspective now, it's like the journey was the whole point.
Well, let's go straight there, man. With your new journey. Obviously, when we connected, you know, I was all locked into what you're trying to do, you know, use basketball as a vehicle to create positive change and help get our Pacific Island brothers more opportunities around the globe. So talk to us a bit about what you're doing right now.
So right now, man, as you know, like a lot of our people, we're very talented people. Not only Fiji, but you know, all over the islands. And I just see that there's a big gap, a vision on how to go about being a basketball player. And me not having any sort of direction, I felt like it was just perfect for me to jump into that middle ground and start to, I guess, help with what I can or bring people together to help these young Pacific Islanders to start to navigate their ways and realize that there's actually opportunities out there to, you know, whether it's to go to college or whether it's to just grow the game in the islands itself. I feel like it's endless and it's just untapped. So right now I did my first basketball tour where we took some Australian kids to Fiji a couple of years ago. And it was beautiful, man, not only to bring overseas talent to help raise their level, but also to give Aussies a bit of a cultural perspective on how Fijians live and how Fijians are, how island life is just so simple and they're so grateful for the little things that they have. I guess it's just trying to blend the two cultures together and sort of help each other grow the game right now. So also coming up, I've got this tournament in Suva at the end of this month, and that's pretty much the goal, is to sort of put more eyes on people going to, I mean, people go to Fiji anyway, so we want to put more eyes on Fiji to help gain traction from people overseas to want to go to Fiji, not only for the beautiful island of Fiji, but just to help raise the level of basketball. So, you know, just looking for teams that are interested to go over. Got a lot of interest from schools. I work in the school fields up here in the Gold Coast. Yeah, there's a lot of interest, but there's also a lot of people just don't know what it's about. It's a bit of an unforeign thing. It's like trying to pitch the Jamaican bobsled team, you know?
Well, they made a movie out of it, so who knows?
Yeah, exactly. So I guess I'm just on that journey of trying to just start something up. This tournament right now, you know, originally we wanted to bring teams from here to go over and play, but it filled up so quickly and there were so many Fijian teams that and clubs that wanted to be a part of it. I couldn't knock everyone back. So we just got a tournament for opens, men's and women's. We just want to build it up to get more traction so that we can do it again and again, but hopefully cater towards the juniors next and, you know, just try to hit whatever we can. And you know, I can't do it alone. I need people to help out. So,
yeah, nice work. So, what's the exact dates?
It's the 26th to the 28th of March this month.
Okay, and all the registrations, all the teams, it's already done. It's just now getting people out there to support.
Yep. Everything's awesome. Done.
All right, man. Well, Jordan, absolutely love your work. I loved hearing your journey, and I wish you all the best with your tournament and your continued success at what you love doing and giving back to the game. So much love, Rinaka, and hopefully we chat again soon.
Man.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Yes, one of the best parts of the show is when my co-hosts bring in an interview from their part of the world. And Tina, we're going to hear a chat you had with Errol, hurdles champion. But before we get into his chat, yeah, tell us a little bit about him. What can we expect?
Oh, Errol, he's a ray of sunshine, first of all. And yesterday we pretty much spoke about what he's been up to and what's next for him in his sport.
All right, Tina, what did you start off by asking him?
So I started off by asking Errol what he's been up to lately and what's next for him.
Okay, so currently we are getting ready for the Oceania Games that's happening in Darwin, and that's towards the end of May this year. And I've also been included into the Commonwealth Games squad for athletics, which is happening in July, and that will be held in Glasgow, Scotland. So those are the two major competitions coming up, and we plan to have a few regional tours, Australia and New Zealand, in the next few coming months, just to help us prepare for that. Yeah, but for the main two right now, in the next few months, is definitely the Oceania Games in Darwin and the Commonwealth Games. Hopefully, I can qualify for that one.
Nice. And so far, at the moment, you are the only Fijian that's doing that particular event?
Yes, I am the only Fijian doing the 110-meter hurdles.
And can you just talk about the challenges, you know, having to do that alone and train alone? How does that go for you?
I mean, it's always been hard from the beginning. When I first started years ago, there was only one athlete, one guy who was also doing hurdles for Fiji. And I was lucky enough when I started, he was finishing off his career. So it was good to have him as a mentor. And we competed together for a bit, I would say maybe just 2 years, and he retired. So from there, I kind of just took on the torch and continued that. But definitely there have been difficulties and some struggles. I mean, obviously, when we have competitions locally here, when I look at the other events, they're able to compete with people, you know, alongside themselves, yeah? So that pushes them to qualify. Either it's jumping the distance or running the times or jumping the height, you know, or throwing the distance. They have people to push them and compete. But for me, every time I compete, I'm always running by myself. So, you know, it's really hard for me to gauge where I am. And also being the lone hurdler in Fiji, sometimes I'm on my own during training and doing my own thing with the help of a coach. I don't really have anyone beside me to push me. So it's been like that for a while. I could say I'm used to it now, but that has never stopped me from pursuing my goals in the 110-meter hurdles.
And does that, you know, in a way motivate you to try and get people on board to try out your event?
It actually has. We've been trying to push the 100 hurdles and the 400 hurdles at a high school level. It's pretty difficult. I know secondary schools athletics is not ready for like a major change, but we've been trying our best to put that in. And recently, from off season last year into this year, we started having hurdle clinics every Thursday, so once a week. And it's open to anybody who wants to join, you know, just teaching them the basics of hurdles and just trying to have them be interested in the event at the end of the day. Because I know it's something new, and when people see the hurdles, they're kind of shy because, you know, it's something that we don't do. And kids are very like shy to try something new at times. So we're just trying to get the interest out there and have kids join for fun.
And if you go for the Glasgow event, which is the Commonwealth Games, if you qualify for that, are you going to be the first one to qualify from Fiji?
I would say recently, yes. In the past, there have been hurdlers, like past hurdlers, but I'm talking like almost 20 years ago. But as of recently, yes.
And yourself, you come from a pretty athletic family. I believe you have siblings who play sport as well.
So I come from a very large family. I have 10 siblings, including myself, is 11. When I was in high school, I also attended LDS Church College up in Tamahu, and that school is known for basketball. So growing up, my sport has always been basketball, not athletics. So I made a switch to athletics. My family has always been playing basketball. I had a brother who received a rugby scholarship for BYU Rugby in Utah. So he's a rugby player. I have a sister who played beach volleyball. And also the rest of us also played basketball, a few athletics here and there, but we've always been involved in the sport and my parents have always been supportive from the very beginning.
Nice. So you actually have, you know, support and you can always talk to them about how your day is because you're all
definitely
on the same sporting level.
I need sponsorship, I just message them and tell them, hey, it's time to send out the finances, it's time to help the athlete in the family. So yeah, it's always been good having them around.
And, you know, right now, at the moment, can you just talk about your training schedule, like your timetable in a day and in a week?
We train every single day. Twice a week we do gym. Every other day is on the track. Some days we have double sessions. So we would come to the tracks early in the morning, train, and then we would have a gym session back to back right after that. And I think one of our focuses right now is we're gearing up to the games. You know, the training has intensified, so we're also focusing on a lot of recovery because the last thing we want to do is just get hurt along the way, during the process of preparing ourselves. So not only are we training super hard and moving up the intensity, but we're also focusing on a lot of recovery to take care of ourselves. A lot of athletes always miss that. Yeah, they train so much, they push themselves so hard, but they forget that as they train hard, they also have to recover as hard, you know, to take care of themselves.
Definitely. And what kind of time frame are you looking at to get more hurdlers to join you, you know, in that event to represent the country?
Well, we have a few high school kids who have just started over the holidays. If you're interested. And in the last Saturday competition, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we actually incorporated hurdles for the younger kids. And we had two races, the female category and also the male category. Finally, we had kids who were interested to run. Yeah, so I think for now, we're just going to be including that into the regular Saturday competitions. But hopefully in the next 5 years, because I know it's going to be a big change for Fiji, but hopefully that's the time frame in the next 5 years.
Now, you mentioned the challenges, yeah? You're the lone hurdle athlete, you know, that's representing the country right now. But why you're alone there. You have no support. Like you mentioned, you don't know how to gauge yourself because you're the only athlete so far. Why do you choose the sport?
I was in school. Everything was about basketball. And I did do athletics, but I was only doing long jump and high jump. I was never a runner until I transferred to Liahuan High School in Tonga. And then they asked me to try out the hurdles, and that's why I fell in love with it. So the reason why I actually stuck with hurdles and continued to do it is just because I just feel like hurdles relates to me so much, not just on, I would say, a sporting level or like a fitness training level, but also like in my life, you know, just it stuck me so much. Just overcoming these barriers, overcoming these hurdles as I train, and just overcoming all these things that, you know, that might hold me back, being the only one. It's only made me a stronger athlete, and I've been able to inspire so many other athletes, younger athletes. So I think that's what's keeping me going in this sport. I could have given up a long time ago. Like I mentioned, I retired. I didn't retire. I took a long break, yeah, when I went to university in Hawaii. Coming back, I really asked myself, do I want to do this? And I remember the reason why I took this up in the first place. My purpose is to continue to help inspire the younger athletes who are coming up, whether it be in hurdles, whether it be in another event. I think at the end of the day, we still have to give back to whatever sport that we love, yeah, the passion.
Fresh off the field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific.
You're listening to Fresh Off the Field with me, Sam Wykes, and a big thank you to my co-host, Taina Basiolo, for that chat with Errol Gunga. It was an amazing chat. When you think about his journey, how inspirational was someone like him to inspire people to get into hurdles?
Well, I think that's, you know, a big step, you know, bold step, rather, to be able to do that and be the only athlete from the country and being a gold medalist at that. But then really, he's not lonely. Everywhere he is, you see all the athletes come to where he is because, you know, he's always the life of the party.
you need those characters within your team, that's for sure. Well, hopefully Errol inspires the next generation. So there's plenty of good things to come in the future. And of course, we'll hear from you a little bit later on in the show with your chat, but now it's time to hop aboard the Fresh Off the Field Va'a and do this.
Island hopping.
Yes, it's time to go island hopping. We've talked about some of the biggest stories across the Pacific, but honestly, that just skims the surface. So let's see what else is happening in our beautiful part of the world. And obviously, the best way to do it is grab a paddle, jump in the va'a, and go island hopping. Man, I can hear you in the background where you are, Harriet. But we're going to start with you, Taina. Samoan weightlifting. Very historically good at weightlifting, Samoans. But what have you got for us?
Well, I've been inspired. And to be honest, I just found out about Ele Opelogi's history Olympic gold medal. So that's actually Samoa's highest Olympic achievement to date. And it remains the silver medal that was won by Ele Opelogi at the 2008 Beijing Olympics. So this result stands as the only Olympic medal Samoa has ever won. And, you know, it makes it a landmark moment in the country's sporting history. But not only that, it's also historically significant because she is the first and only female Pacific Islander to win an Olympic medal in weightlifting. So I love that for her.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And family just riddled with big lifters. Oh, supreme athletes. It's impressive. Harriet, it is impressive when you think about our island women. Like, how important is it to showcase how strong our island women are?
Yeah, it's very important to be able to see our women in positive lights, especially when girls are wanting to get out of their comfort zone. Nothing more assuring or warmer than seeing someone just like you on the other side of the screen doing amazing things and achieving bold accolades in anything really that they put their mind towards or train really hard towards.
And ladies, this is for both of you, like the sport of weightlifting. Yeah, this feeling of that I get when knowing that I can lift weights and lift some, not big weights, but like, you know, lifting weights and feeling confident that you're strong for our female athletes, even if you don't go to the highest level. How important is that to be able to, you know, say, yes, you can lift heavy weights and you can feel strong and confident to be able to do that?
I think it's, you know, pretty inspiring. You know, all the time when I go and cover weightlifting at the gym in Suva and seeing these young girls and they're not that big lifting weights, like
Because for me, myself, I'm a big girl, but I can't do that. Like, you know, somehow I am inspired to maybe try that out or maybe have my children try it out. But I think it's very important to show other young females out there that, you know, there's other sports that can also take you places, that you can represent your country, and it comes in the form of weightlifting. So, yeah, I think it's important to continue shining the spotlight on these ladies and, you know, giving them broadcast
It's such a great point you bring up. Like, we come in all shapes and sizes. So it's okay if you're not going to be able to jump over a hurdle or play rugby. There is a sport for you. And Harriet, when you see how strong our women are, like, it is inspirational, isn't it?
It is definitely inspirational. And I, for myself, had a hand in weightlifting some time ago. So I know the mental pressure that puts on you. I know the discipline that is required around training and just showing up for yourself. So I think for us in the Cook Islands, our young women and girls have been inspired by those that have come before us, especially in the sport of weightlifting. We've had great role models in weightlifting, such as our current president of CISNOC, Luisa Peters, who actually went as far as the Olympics to compete. And then we have the young Maninee Lynch, who had also gone off to Commonwealth to compete in the sport of weightlifting. So seeing them reach to those heights was really inspiring. And we saw just a surge of young girls taking up the sport. So it's definitely needed and important to keep shining the light on women.
Oh,
and
love
girls
it.
In
love
this
it.
Sport.
Lived experience, no better way to talk about it if you've gone through it so perfectly. I appreciate that. But we'll stay with you now, Harriet. It's your turn here, the King's Baton Relay.
Yes, so the Cook Islands King's Baton Relay program is officially underway here in Rarotonga and also Aitutaki, and it marks a historic first for our nation. And this week, the Cook Islands proudly welcomed its very own King's Baton as part of the lead up to the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow 2026. And a special opening ceremony was held yesterday at the Atukura grounds. And this was hosted by His Excellency Sir Tom Masters, who delivered an official welcome address describing the baton as far more important, far more than just being a ceremonial object. So for the first time in history, each Commonwealth nation has its own custom designed baton, and ours carries a unique story of the Cook Islands. And this was highlighted in yesterday's ceremony, was the artwork and design that was creatively put together by two local artists by the name of Katu Deiti, who is a decorated local artist in the Cook Islands, and also a young and inspiring 17-year-old artist by the name of Isabella Nicholas. So both combinations of design and artworks were inspired by our rich biodiversity here in the Cook Islands, but also our pillars of community, and that's our religion, our faith, our government, and also just the rich and lush landscapes of the Cook Islands. So this program is currently underway, and today I am in Aitutaki as I speak, still taking this baton honors journey across our islands.
Hey, what does it mean to you to have your culture expressed to the world? You know, like it must mean a lot there.
Yes, it's definitely heartfelt. It's definitely a feeling of pride and, yeah, a lot of emotions. And to see what is unique to us going to the world stage in July, it means a whole lot to our people. And we're just so proud of what's been put together by these two local artists, because it speaks volumes to who we are as a people and what our island's about and how our communities live.
Absolutely love that. Tina, we're going to go back to you now. We're going to go back paddling, back to rugby union. Rugby World Cup, not too far away. The Flying Fijians are going to be prepared. You know, I think they're going to have their best preparation being involved in the Nations Cup this year. So, and they are now Tier 1. But what have you got for us here around the Rugby World Cup?
So, Sam, as of right now, more than 750,000 tickets have been sold during the initial sales phase of the Men's Rugby World Cup that's going to be held next year in Australia. And this is actually a record-breaking start for the tournament. And organizers say demand has surpassed previous tournaments with a strong interest during the superfan and pre-sale phases. So, yep.
Big news there for, obviously, we're rugby fans here. We need some of that positive news here in Australia, because rugby league is taking over. Like, they've got the foothold, but the Rugby World Cup has got to bring us back. And hopefully all of our teams do really well in that tournament. So expecting big things. And we're going to actually stay on the theme of rugby union here. It's not Nijan footy. It is fresh off the field. Mm-hmm. But it's good that there's plenty of news in the world of rugby. Harriet, we're going to go to you. I can see in your backdrop there that the crystal clear blue waters. Holy, that is beautiful. Take me there right now with the white sands. But something just as good as that is Dave Rennie is now the new All Blacks coach. He's of Cook Island heritage. Man, that's huge news. Huge news, because obviously the All Blacks are arguably probably the most iconic team in the world.
Just incredible, incredible, and such a cultural milestone for any Pacifica, really. But for us in the Cook Islands, having our own up there, doing his thing and just being believed in to take the helm of a legendary team, it's such a proud moment for us here in the Cook Islands.
Can you think of a bigger moment where we've had Cook Island representation in sport?
I think to that level, not as far as playing wise goes. So we've had a lot of players, reach pinnacle rugby, but to be at the helm of coaching a top tier rugby team, I think that in itself is phenomenal. And I think it's one of a kind now for us.
Yes, man, I wish you more the best. I was gutted when Rugby Australia, the Wallabies, let Dave Rennie go. Some of the comments that I got from players and on how much they loved playing for Dave Rennie, he really understood connection. That was his strength. He knew how to bring together teams outside of just training hard. Like, you would have seen the Wallabies players singing Tongan hymns, Fijian hymns. And it was pretty cool to see, you got your Aussies and your Italians and, all the diverse groups singing Pacific Island hymns. I think for me, that's what won me over with Dave Rennie, and I wish him all the best for the All Blacks. Man, I never thought I'd say that. All the best to the All Blacks. I don't want to say that too often, but I do for the Cook Island people. Unreal work. Well, Tina, Harriet, we've had a good paddle traveling around the Pacific for plenty of sports news. Thanks for bringing them in, but let's get back to athletics, actually.
ABC Radio Australia. Fresh off the field. Feel the power of Pacific sports.
Yes, we're going to dive into Harriet's interview. Harriet, you spoke to Simone Fiao, the president of Athletics Cook Islands, who is on the ground in Auckland for the Polynesian Athletics Development Camp, which leads into the Polynesian Championships. We heard a little bit from you around this event, but can you provide a little bit of background around Fiao and, what she's done and all the good things that she's done?
Yeah, absolutely, Sam. So with the Polynesian Championships now in play and now in motion, I think this is the first time we've seen a lot of our athletes in athletics compete at an event such as this. And for me, having Fiao come in, I think for 2 years now, sitting in the presidency role, we've seen so much change. We've seen so many opportunities and doors open for our young athletes who may have not even been into athletics before now, just doing really awesome in this discipline and coming back with great results. So I think for me, having Fiao in that seat driving Athletics Cook Islands has seen real benefits for our country.
Well, love it. Well, what did you start off by asking her?
Yeah, so I started off by asking Fiao About the event itself, I believe that Dame Valerie Adams was a front runner in setting all this up and ensuring that it did go ahead. So that's sort of how we wanted to set up the scene of the story, was asking about what this event was really all about.
There are some exciting things happening for the Cook Islands Athletics right now, and our team is on the ground in Auckland for the Polynesian Athletics Development Camp leading into the Polynesian Championships. It's a massive week of learning, competing, and flying the flag for the Cook Islands. And joining us all the way from Auckland is Simone Fe'au, President of Athletics Cook Islands, who's there with the team right now. Simone, kia ora ana. It's such a great pleasure to have you on today.
Thanks for the opportunity to share a little bit about what we're doing in Athletics Cook Islands and in the Polynesian space. Yeah, it's quite exciting what's happening at the moment.
Maybe for our listeners back home, could you tell us what exactly is the Polynesian Athletics Development Camp and why is this such a big deal for our athletes?
Yeah, the Polynesian Athletics Development Camp is something that was birthed out of a vision that we had as a group of Polynesian athletics federations when we were the World Athletics Champs in Tokyo. And really, I would say that Dame Valerie Adams, who is such an ambassador for Polynesian athletes, but particularly in the athletics space, was the real driver to make this happen. The vision was to be able to see Polynesian athletes who live in the islands, Cook Islands, Samoa, Tonga, Niue, Tuvalu, have the opportunities to really raise the standard of athletics in their countries and, yeah, opportunities, I guess, to take it further and learn from others who have already, you know, doing it in their space. So, yeah, and that was the idea, along with giving the opportunity for Polynesian Athletics Champs, which is an opportunity for them to compete against their fellow Polynesians. So in a space that is a challenge, but is a reachable challenge for our young Polynesian athletes.
Oh, wow. It sounds all very exciting, Simone. And to have Dame Valerie Adams as a front runner for these Polynesian championships, wow, that's such a fantastic opportunity. Now, let's talk about our team for a moment, who have traveled across to Auckland. There are 16 athletes. What makes this group stand out?
Well, I'd like to say nothing, and I mean that with respect, that these are just ordinary cookies with some raw talent, like a lot of our young people do, but they've committed to the discipline of training and setting some goals and going after their dreams. And I guess that's the special part, that they've really applied themselves. Like, I really see that there's so much raw talent, particularly in our islands and even in our Pāinua, outer islands, but it's those who really pick up the discipline of training, of doing the hard yards day in, day out, and setting themselves some goals. Those are the ones that are going to have the opportunities and be able to really go somewhere, take that talent to the next level.
I absolutely love that. And I love to see our young athletes winning at life because of their hard work and commitment. Now, at championships such as these, we always say it's not just about medals. So for you, what would make this week a real win?
I'd really like to see our athletes committing to raise the bar in their own journey and, you know, being courageous to stretch themselves. Being able to do this when they go back home is the real challenge and where the successes will come from. You know, we've got athletes here from Aitutaki as well as Rarotonga, and the resources that we have home aren't the same as here. So that's where the real challenge is to take the mindsets, to take the learnings and the advice from the athletes and the coaches here and apply it in their own home setting.
And they'll be competing alongside top athletes from New Zealand and across Polynesia. How important is that exposure for their development?
Oh, that's really important. You know, you got to have something bigger than you, further than you to look up to work towards, to show you that it can be done and that you too could attain that and, you know, in that space. And here they're seeing that firsthand, what it takes to be the best at your event. You know, when you've probably got a small group of athletes or maybe you train on your own and there's not really much competition, you don't really know what you could be or what the goal is out there. So they've had the opportunities while we've been here to hear from and train with athletes that are at the top of their game.
And top of the game is their aim, as the championships are set to start today. Just want to say a big meitaki ma'ata to Simone for her time, and we're sending all our aroa and best wishes to the team in Auckland.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with me, Sam Wykes, and thank you so much, Harriet, for that chat with Simone Fa'au from the Cook Islands. Again, when we listen to that interview, when we think about the positive outcomes that are coming from it, Taina, you know, Fiji, PNG, and all of these, all of our Pacific Island countries, it is pretty special that not only do we have on-field talent or on-track talent, I guess, but we've also got people in and around the administration side doing some wonderful things.
That's absolutely right, Emma. And, you know, they play a very important role, especially, you know, like Harriet said, they don't have much resources, same as Fiji. But then it's these people behind the scenes that really do a lot of work in ensuring that our athletes are exposed. They attend, you know, as much events as they can to utilize their talent. And yeah, it's actually pretty great to see the hard work that they put in, you know, steering athletics forward, especially here in the Pacific.
Harriet, I know funding is always an issue to be able to get a lot of the necessary equipment or to be able to travel and compete at these competitions. But what would you like to see changed? You know, if there was something that was really going to benefit the athletes, what would you like to see changed, even if small or big, that would go a long way?
Yeah, I think what I like to see change is more investment in development and in our youth. So we go by the saying, you know, we see her to believe her. And so I think seeing our athletes achieve great outcomes at competitions like this is enough to say that we have the talent. We just need the support, you know, to keep them thriving, keep them growing in whatever they put their mindsets towards. So yeah, I think what I like to see change is more investment, more support for our young athletes.
You're not wrong. Hopefully it is around the corner, but that's enough about everyone else competing. It's time for us to get into some healthy competition. So let's do this.
Fresh off the dome.
Here we go. The crowd are on their feet, just like in the Sugar City, clapping their hands for Fresh Off the Dome. Every week I'll ask three questions. You're going to use your name as your buzzer. And if you think you know the answer, of course, you can play along at home too. So, ladies, are you ready? I'll get that out. Harriet, this is your first time, so I'm not gonna give you any leeway, even though it is your first time. So it's competition.
No pressure at all.
No pressure, because there's a big prize up for grabs at the end of the year. I haven't decided what that is yet, but it's big. I can tell you right now, it's big. So we're playing all out here. Okay, question number one. Are we ready?
No.
No. Awesome. So let's go anyway. The theme of athletics on today's show tees up for this question number one. Pius Whistle is PNG's fastest man of all time. He broke a 30-year record to reach that milestone last year, running a 10.24. Whose record did he break?
Ooh.
This is a tough one. Man,
no,
I thought there would have been a multiple choice part of this, but I'll give you a multiple choice. Is it A, Peter Bullu, B, Toya Whistle, or C, Timothy Tuna?
So, sorry, what was the event again?
It was the 100-meter record.
Okay.
He's the fastest man in the Pacific.
Okay, I'm going to take a stab at this one.
Someone's
going to
say their name and jump in.
Oh, Right.
So you go.
Harriet.
A bit of gamesmanship straight away. How good. All right, Harriet, have a guess.
I'm going to guess it's answer A, Peter Pulu.
Yes, it is. Oh, is it on the run sheet? Or is it because...
No, it's not on the run sheet. But I figured it was because he struggled to say his last name.
Yeah, because I was looking up... I shouldn't have struggled. It's an easy last name to say, but because I was trying to think of who are some other PNG stars to throw into this multiple choice question, Toya Whistle is the sister of Pius Whistle, and Timothy Tuna is one of the other sprint kings over in PNG. So I was trying to rattle with those names before reading Peter Poole. But anyway, he had a record of 10.40. So there we go. Let's go to question number two. Which Australian Samoan world champion boxer is fighting in Vegas this week. He is a current IBF Cruiserweight title holder. He is defending that title again. He's a southpaw. He's got a jaw that is rock solid because in his last fight, or the fight before that, he fought the whole rounds with a broken jaw. Starts with a J.
I see the face.
Starts with a J. Oh, second goodness. Initial is an O. Oh, my goodness. I'm giving this away. Somebody. Anybody.
Sorry, I only know Tere Moana, Tere Moana.
Oh, Tere Moana, Tere Moana. Yes. He's a big human being, isn't he? Very big. Okay, can I get one more clue out here? His first name has three letters, and it does start with J.
First name, J?
Sort of.
Is it John?
It's not John, because that's if it's John with no H, then that would be three. It's Jai Opatia. It's Jai Opatia.
Jai Opatia.
Jai Opatia. Surely. I thought that would have been a no-brainer.
How could I ever forget?
Come on, man. The man is fighting this weekend in Vegas.
Sorry, Jay. Yeah.
So the hopefully man. He gets another win. He is honestly the man. I love watching him fight. Tough competitor. Yeah. But let's go question number three. Here we go. Which Fijian flyer scored four tries for the Leeds Rhinos in the Rugby League Vegas extravaganza last week? Extravaganza. I'm glad I got that one out. But he is a big Fijian. Played for the Parramatta Eels. This is rugby league we're talking about. Crowd favourite. They used to chant his name. Oh, go, Tona.
Mike. Oh, no. Mike Sivo.
Seth, Michael Sivo, yes, it is.
Michael Sivo.
Not Semi. You were thinking Semi, weren't you? It is Michael Sivo, and that brings us to 1-1. Do we have a tiebreaker in the run sheet? We don't have a tiebreaker. We're just going to call it 1-1. 1 point apiece. There we have it. So, not a bad start, Harriet. I enjoyed that one. Did you enjoy Fresh Off the Dome there?
Yes, definitely. Always love a good little competition.
Always good. Always good. Well, hopefully the questions will get better next week.
Player of the Week.
Yes, before we end the show, I like to sort of dive deep into who's performing well out there. So each week I'm going to tell you both about a sports person from across the Pacific. It can be from any country, any sport of any ability, but it's our way of finishing off with a big shout out to someone great in the region. And I actually want to give a massive shout out to Du Plessis Corifi. Do you both know who Du Plessis Corifi is?
Hurricanes captain.
Yeah, black and yellow. Hurricanes captain. They're playing against the Waratahs tomorrow night, actually. So he's the captain of the Hurricanes in the Super Rugby Pacific competition. And they've been training out at Sydney Uni for their preparation for this week's game. And after a long session, it would have been about an hour and a half of them getting put through their paces. At the end of the session, there were these school kids from Barker College, a rugby union school here in Sydney. They were there helping out the Hurricanes with their preparation by filling in with numbers. But these kids are only like 16, 17, 18 years of age. And Du Plessis took the time out to spend about 20 minutes after training with one of the back rowers, their young back rowers, doing some breakdown drills, you know, teaching him some absolute pockets of gold on how he likes to attack the breakdown, how he gets over the ball, how he shifts his weight when he knows there's a threat coming, how he moves his feet around, just little pointers that you probably wouldn't get anywhere else except from a player of his caliber. So when I saw that and I just saw the humility that he showed and the time he gave up for this young kid and then the smile on the kid's face when he walked away from that session, I thought, man, you're going to be my player of the week on Fresh Off the Field, because I absolutely love when superstars of the game give back like that. So big ups to Du Plessis Corifi. But that brings us to the end of our show for this week. I just want to say a massive vinaka vaka level to you, Taina, to you as well, Harriet, for coming on. Hopefully you both had a very good time.
Mata Timata, Sam, had a splendid time.
Splendid time. And you had the best seat of the house there, looking at that crystal clear water as well. But vinaka to you both. Really appreciate your time. And thank you for everyone to listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'll be back next week with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.